Chapter 2. When Time and Eternity Meet. As an adult, I discovered the following beautiful words by C.S. Lewis. For the present is the point at which time touches eternity. Of the present moment, and of it only, humans have an experience analogous to the experience which God has of reality as a whole. Yet the moment of which he speaks, the moment of experiencing eternal time, happened when I was a child. I didn't understand the underpinning theology, and I didn't have to. I possessed the phenomenon as pure joy. It was a moment when, in the midst of Sunday services at Mother's Church, I sang a very old hymn whose title echoes the same sentiment as C.S. Lewis's, When Time and Eternity Meet. I sat on the banks of a river. I stood on the crest of a hill. I gazed at the great modern cities, the valleys serene and so still. I heard the loud roar of the ocean. I felt the great desert's heat. Then I thought of the fate of this whole wide world where time and eternity meet. Though music is rooted in time, music took me out of time. It suspended time. Playing and singing music gave me a feeling of freedom. Music made sense to me. Its meters made mathematical sense. I didn't have to count out the bars and the beats. I felt them. They fell together in a rhythm as natural as the beats of my heart. And the most beautiful thing about my first music, this beatific music of my childhood, was its message. The purpose was praise, and the praise was other-directed and otherworldly. The praise was for God and God alone. When my musical ability was praised by Mother and her congregants, that felt good, but not nearly as good as worshiping the goodness of God in song. As a performer, I never felt especially gifted. I was grateful to be able to play and sing, but I took it in stride. I realized I had talent, although that talent never went to my head. If there was a gift that impressed me, it was not my own. It was Mother's. Her gift, to reflect the sweet compassion of Christ in word and deed, overwhelmed my world. I followed her every thought, watched her every move, mirrored her every prayer. Confidence, inexorable confidence, was the hallmark of my parents. Mother's preaching was a study in sincerity. In the rising and falling cadences of her hypnotic sermons, there wasn't a shred of doubt or duplicity. She wore her heart on her sleeve. The hungry ate at our table. The homeless slept in our sanctuary. Father's confidence was reflected in his focus. If the chore at hand was to repair or even build a tractor, he did so with laser-like concentration, whether it took him a day or a month. He worked until the task was complete. His obsession to understand the underlying mysteries of minerals had him exploring uncharted territory, venturing deep into these two territories, the spiritual and the material, to find the excitement of my childhood. As my mother's reputation grew, she accepted invitations in faraway churches and tent revivals. I was thrilled to travel with her. And as my father's molybdenum fixation intensified, I trekked with him to our mine in the middle of nowhere. Seen through the eyes of a child, these were exotic excursions. Among the first trips I took with Mother was one to 14.